Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. I am Cindy Freeman, your host of Purpose Talk Radio, and today is Friday, December 21st, the shortest day of the year, at least here in the United States. I guess it is elsewhere too. I don't know. I don't know how that works over in the UK, but we do have some listeners as well. I know the time and the clocks and all that kind of stuff is kind of off there during the year too. We change clocks in the United States and UK doesn't for a little bit, but I think we're all now on daylight savings time. So, having said all that, there is the show today is going to be about safely traveling locally and far away during the holidays. But before we do that, I'd like to let you know a little bit about Purpose Talk Radio. We are here Fridays, a little bit intermittently here lately. At noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. And we are here to talk to you about living your purpose, whatever that may mean. Now, what may very well be happening in the new year is we're going to look at some different formats a little bit. And I know I've been talking about this for a while and haven't quite gotten to it. And we're looking at potentially going with positive news radio, as it seems like that might be a little more what folks are wanting, and it might broaden the discussion of Purpose Talk Radio. Or we may run two shows. We're just not quite sure where that is. We'd love to have some folks weigh in on that. You can do that over on our Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, where there are posts each time we do a show, and those posts then are shared, they're pinned to the top of the page for the week or the last show that we've done, so that you can comment in those. The other thing that you can do is, if you're listening to some of the old archive shows, feel free to jump on over there and comment on them, even if the show has passed. We do monitor that as well. As I mentioned, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations is our Facebook group. We also have a Purpose Talk Radio page. There are several other ways to get a hold of me. The easiest is email, cindy@purposetalkradio.com, cindy@purposetalkradio.com. And in doing some of that, you can suggest topics, people, guests to be on the show, share your comments if you don't have Facebook, whatever you might like there as well. In addition to that, like I said, we'd like to hear what you think about proposals that we're going into, topics you'd like to hear for the new year, all of that. You'll find me on several other Facebook groups and pages. I do have a social media page, one for editing and writing. Also, the one that is partially sponsoring today's show is True Visions Travel, and that is a full-service travel company, especially for those needing individualized accommodations. And that website is truevisionstravel.com, TRUEVISIONSTRAVEL.com. And let's see. Now, in case you'd like to participate in this show today, there are several ways that you can do it. If you are on, if you are on Blog Talk Radio, excuse me, wow, you can go right down to the chat room at the very bottom of the page, and that is open for you to join in the conversation, put in comments. Know that after the show is over, that chat room closes, and so do those comments. That's why we encourage you to make comments over at the Purpose Talk Radio conversations on Facebook, if you happen to have it. You can also send us an email, as I mentioned, and you can also call into the show at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Love to have you participate in that way as well. We'd love to have discussion, conversation around what is going on our shows. And of course, that also is only when we are live. That's another opportunity for you. But we love comments and discussion. Excuse me. So today our topic is talking about traveling around and doing so safely during the holidays. You know, there's a lot of folks out there traveling this time of year to be with family and friends, get out of the cold, get out of the warmth in some cases. There are, there's just a lot of things going on in general that allow people to move about. And, you know, there's a couple of basic safety rules that, you know, we all hear about, we all know about, and yet somehow, sometimes we forget about them. So I'd like to go through some of the basic things and then maybe add on a few others that you might not think about as you go through, your travel and your what you're doing. So first of all, I'm going to do some of the long distance travel things, and then we will also encourage some of the local travel as well, and incorporate those in the process. So one of the things I would like to suggest to you, you know, of course, there are lots of websites available for people who want general information about travel. You can find anything you want to know about the area where you're visiting. So do your research, first of all. You know the destination that you're at. Check out what some locals say, as well as people that have traveled there. You can, you know, go to some of the bigger sites, the AAAs, things like that, that do reviews of different areas. True Business Travel, we do have some reviews of those areas as well. You know, make yourself available to, like, the Chamber of Commerce's, if you were traveling locally in the United States in certain cities, and you want to know what are the best places to go to, the Chamber of Commerce, the City Council. All those places have can tell you what are good neighborhoods, what areas you might want to avoid, all of the ins and outs of the community where you're going. They can probably tell you the good hotels as well, maybe some areas that you don't want to go into. Of course, you know, none of those want to admit that their community is potentially risky or anything else, but they will tell you what the good areas are. They may not tell you exactly what the areas are you want to avoid, but they will share with you what those good areas are, and where you might want to spend some of your time and some of the great sightseeing, and how the other thing is how to get there from where you are. When you're in those areas. Now, this is both locally, when you're kind of cruising around your own city, you know, maybe checking out the holiday lights and scenes and entertainment that's going on, as well as when you're on the road. You know, don't draw attention to yourself. Many of us carry cameras and our cell phones and, you know, look for maps and things like that. You know, as much as possible, take a look at the maps beforehand so that you're not looking like you're looking at a map, that you're not getting your directions from Google or whatever as you're walking along the sidewalk. You know, you want to just as much as, you know, understand, you know, maybe wearing silly hats or, you know, as they say, the ugliest sweater, things like that. Those are just fun things to draw attention to yourself, and those are fine, but you don't want it to look like you are traveling. Keep your cameras as much as you can in bags if you don't want, if you're not using them right away. Obviously, if you're standing by a display of some kind, there's going to be lots of people out there taking pictures, so you're not going to be drawing attention to yourself that way. If you need specific documents to where you're going, make sure you have multiple copies of your, not of your boarding pass necessarily, but of, you know, keep a copy of your boarding pass, keep a copy of the information. Since, you know, even if you print it out, the airlines can always get another copy of it, but you want to know that you can confirm where you're going, what you're doing in your travel. You want to know exactly how you're getting there, what flight number you're taking, you know, what public transportation you're taking. If you have been working with a travel agency, such as True Visions Travel, they will have that whole itinerary for you so that you know where you're going. And then, you know, even send off a copy to your friends and your family so they know when to expect you, where you might be in the process of your traveling. You know, be careful of your public Wi-Fi. Do searches, if you can, incognito on your tabs. Don't go into your bank account necessarily on the public Wi-Fi. You know, you use your phone where you're using your phone system. Those kinds of things. Just be cautious of what you're doing. If you do use the public Wi-Fis and your passwords, make sure that you completely log out of any of those websites you've been visiting that you might have had to put your information in. Make sure you shut down, reboot public computers so that your history, or even delete the history in there, so that someone's not tracking your information as you go through there. Now, that's a good thing to do on any public Wi-Fi that you might be on, whether it be home or traveling far away. So those are just, you know, and if you've been traveling for a while, when you get home, change your passwords. That's a simple protection as well, so that when you, you know, if someone does happen to log onto a computer where you've been, that is one of those public sites, you can easily deter them from going any further because they won't have your password. Instead, they will, you know, yours will pop up as the old one, and lo and behold, they're not going to go any further because they can't. It just won't log in because you'll have a new one. When you go into your hotel rooms, even when you're with, you know, friends, family, don't keep your valuables out. Don't tempt anyone to, you know, want to wander into your room and look at your jewelry that might be there and tempt them, you know, things like that. Put that stuff away. Put it in drawers. Put it in the, if you're in the hotel room, put it in the safe. Your electronics can go in the safe when you're not using them, or carry them with you. Have extra padding, extra cases for your electronics when you're traveling, so that there's not a chance of them getting bumped and ruined. You know, it's very inexpensive to find and get a padded bag, whether it be for your cameras or your computers or your tablet or iPad. those kinds of things are readily available, even at some of the dollar stores. Sometimes you can find something that you could use as a bag for your cameras and your things like that. You know, if they're small enough. The larger ones, of course, you might have to go to some of your variety stores, you know, Walmarts, Kmarts, Best Buys, whatever it might be, to get a bag that fits appropriately. But yeah, get some extra padding on there. If you can't and you've got, you know, gazillion bags at home that you want to use, put some foam in them. You can get that very inexpensively as well. You know, put that around your equipment so that it is and travels much safer. If you can avoid checking any of your electronics, you know, the wise thing is to do that in your carry-on. And again, you know, handle that carefully. Handle that extra carefully so that it's not just jammed into the overhead compartment. But again, depending upon how you pack that, that's what's going to be advantageous to you so that you can take care of that equipment and give it a little special care, especially if you're the one that's handling it and not, you know, make it light enough that you can pick it up and put it into those overhead bins, or someone that's traveling with you so that you know it's going to be handled well and protected. You know, and then in general, just be aware of, you know, your surroundings, the people around you. Don't act frightened out of fear. You know, don't keep turning your head a million times as if you're, you know, on a high alert. That's going to draw attention to yourself. Not only will that draw attention to someone who might be a little malicious this time of year, looking for to pay off a different thing, it will also draw attention that maybe you're the one looking for trouble if you're just, you know, darting your head around and, you know, jerkily looking around and seeming like you don't know where you are and what you're doing. That might alert someone to think that you are the person who is going to cause trouble. And you don't want that either, because you don't want to be hassled by police in an area that you don't know. You know, make sure you always have some identification with you. Your driver's license, your passports. Although the passport is better kept, you know, locked up in your safe in your room. You know, if you don't have to carry it around, don't do so. But it's a good thing to always travel with, whether you think you're going to need it or not. Today's day and age when, you know, travel is much more secure than it used to be, traveling with a passport is good for a secondary form of ID. You know, say you lose your license or something, you've got that passport for your identification as well. Concerns. You know, most of us, when we travel, we don't have, one thing I didn't think about and mention earlier was when you have your keys. You know, if you're traveling with your house keys, first of all, you don't need to keep all of them with you, but you may want to. You know, you don't want to take off part of your key ring and leave it home and part not, because it'll seem like, you know, when you're out and about, you're going to think you lost your keys. One of those things that the brain just does, going, what happened? Oh, yes, I left them at home. But if you do, whatever you do with your keys, you know, you're not going to need them on your trip. So again, lock them up, put them someplace safely where you're going to remember where they are as you're traveling. Look at the, you know, once you leave home, you know, keep, but don't, again, you don't have to lock them in your luggage, because if your luggage gets lost, that's a set of stuff that, you know, you don't want to potentially have gone for a long period of time. You know, there are people who have gone away just for the weekend and had their luggage gone that whole time. So keep your keys with you. Keep your identification with you. Keep your electronics with you. And anything of particular value, you know, your if you've got grandma's jewelry, things like that, you want to make sure that that stays with you as well, so that all those things are available to you.
You know, we just mentioned passports in general. You know, you've got those passport cards too now that are legitimate travel identification. You know, they're great. They're the same size as your driver's license. They fit in the wallets. They are significantly less expensive to replace than your passport books, of course. So if you can get those and you're not needing the full passport for where you're going, that's a great way to have an alternate source of identification and way to travel for you as well. And let's see, what other things do I want to share with you? You know, again, those hotels and things that you're at, you know, check how the doors work. How do they lock? How do they unlock? When you're in your room and staying there, you know, put the chains across the doors. Yeah, you know, some of these are pretty much given ideas. And again, many of us have heard it before, but it never hurts to go over it one more time and to, you know, hear those kinds of things. Because sometimes we get a little lackadaisical. Oh, I've done this before. I've been traveling before. I know everything that I need to know here. And so sometimes we just go along with the flow. And, you know, so maybe you had, you know, you're waiting for food service to come to your door. You don't need to open it until they are present and identify themselves. You know, you don't want, somebody just coming in. You know, occasionally keys get miskeyed, especially with electronic cards now. Occasionally there are miskeys or miss rooms numbers. For the most part, staff is pretty good about asking for identification of some kind if somebody loses a key, or sending a staff member with someone who gets a new key in case they, you know, don't have the identification with them. And then they ask the person to identify the room and what's in the room before they go up there. If you are in doubt, you know, if you're concerned about your room, I would suggest you ask that a staff person come with you. You know, if you don't have any identification on, you describe the room and ask that there be extra security put on your room if, you know, there's any concern about anything like that, so that you have the extra identification even with that. You know, and let the front desk know if anyone is going to be staying with you or visiting with you, because they can identify that as well. You know, so if someone asks for your room, you know, they don't just, and it's uncommon that someone at the front desk will, like, ask them if they need a key. But every once in a while, I've seen it happen, I've heard it happen, and you want to make sure that if you're not expecting anyone and you don't have any reason for anyone to have an extra key, that it is not given out without your prior approval. And when you do something like that, you know, it's safe and good to even go down to the front desk and meet whoever you're expecting to go with you, as opposed to just saying, oh yes, they can come up. Or they, you know, they can have a key. Make sure that they are identified as well, either by you or with a driver's license or some identification to the front desk before that that happens. Let's see. What other kinds of things do I want to give you as information? Again, we kind of talk a little bit about making sure your families and friends know, you know, where you're going, how you're traveling, what your route is. They can, you know, follow you on most cases via the internet on your flights. They can find out exactly where those flights are, whether you are They may not be able to find out whether you're on them, excuse me, as I started saying, but they'll be able to cover the flight if they know that you are specifically going to be on it. They can check that it's going to be arriving on time and the like. Now, the one thing that has changed over the years with flights, of course, is if you are needing to change flights or are delayed or things like that, you know, sometimes you can't get the information to your family or your friends that you are going to be rerouted for whatever reason. Because when you're flying and the phones and the electronics are in airplane mode, you can't just call out to the general public. And sometimes you have to invest in the airline's Wi-Fi to be able to get some of the things, the movies and that. If at all possible, try to notify your family as you're getting on that plane if you're going to change, even to let them know, rerouted, we'll get to you as soon as I can, or whatever kind of information, and at least let them know so they're not worried about you or wondering where you might be, because that the ability of folks to track you down now with security is much tighter than, again, it was before 9/11. Now, most of us have known about some of this for years, but it's things that we forget about. You know, they can't just call and say, well, my sister was supposed to be on flight number, did she make it? They only release that information in case of an emergency. So, you know, that's pretty uncommon that they can just call and get that right now. Because there are, gratefully, emergencies that are few and far between. That's the good part about it. You know, we're not seeing a whole lot of planes go down, you know, or having them to make emergency landings somewhere. You know, flying and trains and buses and that, for the most part, have been pretty safe, you know, gratefully, prayerfully, that continues as well. So let's see. So when you're traveling out and about within a certain community, you know, you're obvious, if you're on a distance trip, you're obviously going to want to go out and about even within the community, whether you rent a car or you walk around. And the same rules would apply, the same safety features would apply to you whether you are doing that in your own community or whether you are out and about with other people outside of your own community. And with that, some of those things you probably would want to consider. Obviously, if you are, as I mentioned before, if you're using a camera or electronics, you know, don't make it look like you're lost. As such, you know, use them just as general information. There are a lot of people now that even walking around, they do get instructions to the nearest particular store that they're looking for or the particular restaurant by being on their phone, because it is so precise of, you know, turn right for 200 feet, whatever, that you can get that information on your phone. So phones are not quite as scary for you to be identified, because a lot of people are doing that right now. You know, many people take pictures of their dinner and send it off to their friends, you know, wish you were here kind of things, and haha, look at this dinner I just had, and oh, look how lovely this is, I hope I can make this recipe. Now, that does remind me, as you're doing that, you know, if you're putting that out on social media, I really would suggest that you don't post that while you are on your trip, because it does identify to folks that you are away from home. It does, you know, for most of us, we restrict our postings to our friends, our family, to specific people who we think would be safe to know that we are away, that we are on a trip, whatever. But there are still folks that are not quite as, honest, I guess I would say, you know, within our circles. Somebody might know somebody in the area. You know, hopefully as you're joining your social media circles, you do vet, check with, you know, how you might know these people and if you, you know, that there is some kind of connection, that they're not just, you're not just adding people because they randomly ask to. Those are the people that tend to want to try to hack your information, be obnoxious on your walls, look for signs and symbols of how to get personal information, all that stuff. And that's why you don't want to post information about your specifics about your trip. You know, even when you check into an area, you know, you might think that checking into a specific museum or a specific maybe art gallery or something. Yes, these places love the publicity. That is very true. However, by checking into those particular locations, you are indicating to others that you are not home, that you are away in that area. You know, and you might have folks saying, hey, where are you? Because they don't recognize a certain photo that you're posting. You know, whether it be a certain waterway or a certain architecture. Many people tend to say, oh, where is that? I don't recognize that. Where are you? And, you know, if you respond publicly on that, you are indicating to people that you are away. Now, if you're in your home community, that's a whole different story, you know, because people expect you to post about your home community. You know, instead of when you're away, wait till you get home to post those pictures. And then you could say, you know, spent a lovely week or weekend in such and such. Would love to share the trip with you. Things like that. I'm maybe one of the few who just love to live other people's vacations or a vacation in general. I love to live it vicariously through their eyes, through their pictures. You know, I want to see what they saw. I want to know what is the best place to go to if I went in that area myself. Even with the travel agency, I don't get to travel quite as much as I'd like just because of school and my pretty rigid schedule. So those times that I do, you know, there's places that I might like to go to. So I do ask my friends when I know they've gone somewhere, hey, can I see your pictures? Show me what you really enjoyed. And it also gives me an idea of, you know, seeing life through their eyes. It gives me a different perspective as to who they are and what they really enjoy. And so that's one of the reasons I just love other people's pictures. And that seems kind of odd, but it is the case nonetheless. You know, when you're buying packages, again, this is kind of a given one, but as you're out and about making purchases, as you buy souvenirs, you know, it might be pretty obvious if you are in Washington, D.C., and you're buying a Washington, D.C. t-shirt or postcards. You're kind of indicating to folks that you are not from that area. So, yes, even though you're trying to look like a commoner, someone who knows the area, that kind of thing. In buying those things, make sure you get them put into a bag or put them into your purse, that once you leave that particular store, you're not going to have that information out and about. You might even consider taking a different kind of bag that's a common bag with you when you go to some of these souvenir type places. And I just jump back and forth to traveling. But again, that's just when you're traveling around within a community. Because a lot of us like to do shopping for a particular shot glass or poster, t-shirts, the like to just remember those trips when we get back home. And some of us do it to show off a little bit of where we've been. We'll be honest, you know, what do you wear that T-shirt when you got home from Hawaii, you know, to remind your friends that you got to go and have them ask about the trip and you know, things like that. We all do it at times. And so it makes it great fun. And but when you're out and about in a community, you want to be as inconspicuous of your those kinds of purchases, even though we're obviously going to make them. So again, you know, lock the doors. Just watch that no one's following you. Put your identification and your cards, your charge cards, credit cards, back into your wallets. Again, this is whether you are doing this at home or elsewhere. You know, don't just throw them into the pocket with your receipt. Take the extra couple of seconds and put those things away where they belong so that you can find them again when you need them the next time. It's much easier to do that when you have them in your hands and you're calm than later. If you can't find something, we've all been there. We've all been there where we can't find something and we're rushing around and we're throwing things and we're moving things out of the way. And I know it was here last. And how do I get to that? And, you know, and in the process, we end up making ourselves more and more frustrated as opposed to taking that extra 30 seconds to put it away in a familiar place where we know to look for it the next time. Spending 2 hours looking for something versus 30 seconds or even a minute as you put it away is a huge difference and a huge chunk of time out of your life that you could be doing much more interesting things than just looking for something that you've lost. So again, if you'd like to participate in this conversation, I'd love to have you do that. The phone number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Or you can put stuff into the chat room, whatever you might like, if you have comments for us to add to this conversation. So if you are, again, if you're in the area, you're doing things. Let me think here what other things you'd like to do. Let's do some specifics to the clothes around town. You know, if you're shopping for the holidays, you probably don't want to do it in, you know, your super high dress, classy clothes, and your, you know, brim hats and your heels, or even your dress shoes, things like that. You know, looking generally at like you're someone that belongs in it, you know what you're doing. You know, if you ever do have to run, you want to be able to run and get what and where you need to go. Sometimes we need to get back into our cars quickly, you know, because you think someone is out there, you know, or following you. Keeping your things, like if you have front pockets, you know, keep your phone in your front pocket, not your back pocket, or it can be easily slipped out of your back pocket. So you don't want to have that sticking out. Don't have it visible. Don't have your money just wadded up in your pocket. Have it in a wallet. And again, keep that in your front pocket. If you do carry a purse or a purse, have that in front of you. Don't have it just hanging off behind you. You know, backpacks, we don't have a choice. But when you zip them, zip the various pockets at different levels so that you don't have like four pockets all sitting over to the right side where the zipper is. That someone can just easily just like open all of them at once if they, you know, if they get a hold of your backpack. You know, seal the purse or the purse, zip it up, button, snap it up, put the flap over, whatever you need to do, again, so things are not exposed and visible to people. The phone is a good thing to have on you as much as possible, because in case of an emergency, if someone does try to take anything that you have that you're carrying, you know, you still have the phone to be able to dial 911 and get yourself the services, the emergency services that you need. All that fun stuff. You know, again, if you don't have, if someone calls you and wants to confirm your credit card for a purchase you made, you know, don't trust it. You know, don't give out your credit card's information like that unless you are fully sure of who's calling. The scammers, the folks now are able to clone phone numbers so that it looks like it's from the area or from your local people or whatever. Take down a phone number. If someone is trying to get your information, ask them for a phone number. If they don't give you one, guess what? It's not legitimate, first of all. That is one of the first keys to knowing something's not legit. The other is, you know, if they get very irritated by you asking for their information, then you know they're not legitimate. The other is if they, if when you call back, they don't answer with the business name, then it is not obviously the same business. But what you can do with that phone number, if they give it to you, or if you get it on a caller ID, is you can look up those phone numbers. You know, if one of the stores is supposedly calling you or some agency that is trying to get a hold of your information for whatever reason, you can go online and you can see what the phone number is, see if it matches what you're given or someplace that just called you. Take a look at it and then call the number back directly, not on a redial that might have it going back through some nefarious company that wants to just get your information. Dial directly the number of the store, ask for the customer service, ask for whatever department supposedly, let them know what the call was about that you just got, what time you got it, etc. You know, in some cases they will want to, you know, if they didn't call you, they will want to get that information from you as to what number supposedly was called. And they will, as well as yourself, should contact the authorities and let them investigate that. There are laws against the laws placed by the FCC about using phones for illegal gains and illegal purposes. And they can receive fines for doing that. Sometimes it's very difficult to track folks down because they're from a different country and all that. But it's always worth a try to call your local police if that number goes through to anybody and it's not what you expect. The scammers, those guys, make sure you do turn that into the police, because they're willing to investigate those or to tell you, yes, we've just had a rash of them from that kind of number, whatever. And you can take care of that for yourself. You know, even in general, you want to keep track of your emergency information. You know, many of us do not quite keep our cell phones as safely as we should. I've had one that I've had a couple crack. I've had a couple breakdown. I admit that. I'm a little hard on my equipment. And you know what? I make sure that there's some alternative way for me to get my emergency phone numbers, my family, my close friends, because most of us don't memorize those numbers anymore. We just don't. Whether it be backing it up to a Google Drive, a Dropbox, manually putting it into an actual phone book with a pen and pencil and a paper. Now, you know, I know most of us don't quite do that anymore, but you know what? The good thing is that you can do that. You can take some of those, send them on an email to yourself and identify it as emergency contact information and send yourself an email. Post it as only you on your social media so that there's other ways that you can get that information should your phone go bad or should you lose your phone or whatever information. Again, speaking of those phones, you know, get a locator app on the phone. Get a lockdown app on the phone so that if you do lose your phone, most of the phone services now have a service, some kind of lockout service, either because someone needs to do a fingerprint or some kind of number pattern to get into the phone, or some of them also allow that if your phone is lost or stolen, that what happens is the main data is erased instantly. So you would lose your phone book. You would lose your notes that you have. You would lose quite a bit of stuff if they had to do a lockout on your phone. But it does keep those folks that shouldn't be getting your information from getting it. You know, have some kind of emergency plan in place if just life itself goes bad. You know, you can carry that on just a card. You know, one of my, I've had a few things going on recently with things that folks would say would be emergencies and things like that. And I've had to do something very simple. And it's to write on a piece of paper, pause, breathe. For some people, it might be breathe, pause, breathe, pause. It just reminds me to stop before getting all flustered. Because getting flustered will not help any situation. Whether it be, you know, someone steals something from you, whether it be you can't find something that's misplaced, whatever, as you're wandering around. Remember to breathe. Remember to stop. Remember to try to put yourself in a psychological setting so that, you just have a break pattern, that you don't go into hyper-anxiety immediately, that you don't go into scary systems immediately and not know what you're doing. You know, some of these IDs, too, you've got on your keychain. You know, maybe you've got identification such as store cards, you know, things like that. That's kind of a good way to have your identity identified if you lose your keys. You know, that someone can go to a store and, if they're honest, you know, could go to a store and leave those keys somewhere and ask the store to contact you, or even ask the store to contact you while they're standing there. You know, it would be a good way to get back things that you might have lost. Again, you know, not everybody's honest, unfortunately. You know, it's one of the things that I would consider doing if I had found keys around me, if I had found any kind of identification that was there. I would go into the nearest store where I thought someone might have used it and ask them to contact the owner. Because a lot of times, too, if you use a credit card, the store can, you know, that might be dropped or licensed or whatever. the store can come back and say, you know, can I get that phone number through the credit card company, or have the credit card company call, things like that. So a lot of times, too, an ATM machine, again, if someone's honest, a lot of times if you use an ATM machine, you know, make sure you pull those cards out as quickly as it allows, so that you, and again, put it back where it belongs as soon as you are in a safe place, not necessarily doing that in the public area, right by the ATM, although with cameras, you know, you can be seen that you are doing that, that cameras are watching you. And if someone comes around you just out of sight of the cameras, it could be an issue. Put your identification in your, we were talking a little bit ago about purses and merces and the like. You know, put your identification in there. If you are a business owner and carry around business cards, keep a card in a pocket that you don't hand out. You know, don't ever hand out your last business card, because if something happens with your stuff, you know, that can, those cards can be identification if it's tossed away for someone, for the police to perhaps get to you. And, you know, put it in a pocket so that if it does get to the police, who generally look through anything to try to find an identification, that they can do that, as opposed to someone who steals it that wants to just take out the, you know, the valuables and toss it away. They're not going to look to see whether you've got an identification or not. In fact, they will, if they have a wallet of yours, they will probably take out the identification and run off with the money, whatever is of value. If you're, again, in an area that is unfamiliar to you, you know, some of those locals, you know, as you hang out in a little diner, you can ask folks there what is the best place to go or where is a nice place to visit. You know, ask the servers as opposed to, you know, people at the next table, because they might also be visiting and not have any idea. Or they may be looking for someone to find out who's visiting by hanging out. But, you know, if you can ask the taxi drivers, if you can ask the servers at a restaurant, if you can ask the hotel staff, those are the ones who are really good at dumping back to the long-distance travel. But they're the ones that can tell you where you might be able to find some good information. And good places to visit. You know, at the same time, you don't want to share too much with these people you don't know. You know, someone starts asking you a lot about your family. You know, true that they could very much be just curious to stay in conversation, but sometimes they are trying to get you information, and get your information. So let's see. What other kinds? I'm getting probably near the end of this list on here. You know, obviously, don't ever set your bag down somewhere. You don't want somebody slipping something into it that they shouldn't be. You don't want them to walk away with it. You know, don't even just set it down between your feet. If you do that, you know, say you sit on a park bench somewhere, you know, keep one hand on it. Put the handles of the bag around your ankle if you just want to give your hands a break or your back a break or whatever. Don't just set things down, whether that, again, whether that's locally or whether you are traveling. It makes it much more difficult for someone to grab and run with it if it's attached to you in some way. You know, you can always visit your local schools that teach self-defense, too. You know, get some basic self-defense for yourself. so that you can be a little bit more aware of what's going on and a little less fearful of what's around you. Whether it be actual self-defense, judo, taekwondo, things like that, or whether it's more of a relaxing, a breathing things such as Tai Chi, Dao Cheng, various things like that that might teach people more breath exercise and balance and things like that might help them get out of a situation. Watch people around you. Look them in the eye. Some places say don't. A lot of places say do. If you're looking someone right in the eye, they're going to know that you see them, that you acknowledge them. Talking to them makes them at least think that you have paid attention to them. So that, you can identify them when you're out and about, if you need to. The home, when you're at home with your lights. Again, put things on timers. Even if you're, you have a normal schedule, set the lights so they're at, if you get one of those timers, get a timer that is not at exactly the same time of day to turn things on. You're better off having a non-regular schedule or an irregular schedule than you are a regular schedule, because then people don't know when to expect you at home or not at home. And they won't know what to look for. Put some emergency cash away, in a drawer at home, in some place where they can't see it, some place, that's not easily accessible, whatever, so that you're using ATMs sparingly. When you're out and about, don't carry a lot of cash in your pockets. You can use, even, if you've got traveler's checks, you can use those at home as well as away. If you want to carry around a significant amount of cash for whatever reason, as opposed to using the ATMs or as opposed to using your credit cards, you can always get traveler's checks. Now, yes, it will identify you, again, as a traveler, even at home, even if you're not. But what would happen with that? Obviously, someone will think you're a traveler, but you're not. The store will see your identification, but you're not. But it gives the opportunity to have sparingly some extra change as they break that and give you your cash back or whatever based on your purchase, and then have some money in your pocket. Those are some ways that you can have more cash around. Shop with your friends. It kind of makes the day go better, go faster. If you are able to go with someone, do so. Have a basic, here's one that I know few people really think about. Whether you're at home, whether you are out on the road and out about somewhere, have a small first aid kit. Have a small emergency kit in your car. In that, you want to include bottled water, because first of all, you can go to places far away. You can't travel with bottled water in your carry-ons anymore, but you can have it in your suitcase. So carry some bottled water with you. Put it into a plastic bag or whatever, cover it nicely into a lunch bag or something like that. If you're traveling further away, carry some bottled water with you. Because a lot of people tend to get sick on water outside of their own area, outside of what they're familiar with. But having that in your car in general, if you're traveling around locally, is great. Maybe you want to include in that, you know, again, whether you're traveling further away or locally, you need to have it perhaps in your suitcase rather than with you if you have like a tweezers or a nail clipper, small nail clippers, cotton swabs, alcohol, what do they call them? The alcohol rubs, a small blanket, your ibuprofen or your aspirin, something like that, petroleum jelly, just some simple things that chapstick or antibiotic creams, you know, some things that you might want to just have with you in that could be for all cases. Some people like to carry those, what are they, salts, rehydration salts, so that if they do get dehydrated, if they do, you know, get out in the sun or out too long or even too cold, you know, they want to have some alternatives in there. As you're out and about, you know, many of us like to have a drink here and there to relax, maybe as we're out with our friends. You know, common sense says don't drink so much that you lose your instincts around you and your understanding. Be aware of what you're drinking and how much. Don't let it impede any of your activities, any of your understanding and your senses, because you need those senses, you need the intuition to be able to say, hey, something's just not right, or hey, everything's going great and I can move on with my day. Your body language will show a lot again. And the body language of others that you see, you want to be able to interpret that as friend or foe. Oh, I know another thing in that safety kit. You may want to carry maybe not even a safety kit, in your pocket. You know, carry some kind of whistle or loud noisemaker and a little pocket flashlight, because these things will draw attention to you. If somebody's around you, you can reach for them easily without somebody thinking it's a gun, because you definitely don't want anybody thinking that if you're not carrying. And sometimes those that don't, you know, do want others to think it's a gun, so they get the heck out of there. But have some kind of safety noise thing with you. So those are, I think we're pretty much on the money here. I do want to jump back to one other thing that I think is important to anyone traveling outside of the areas while you're going, you know, whether it be now or another time. You know, people don't think that anything is going to happen on their trips. They think that they've got their schedule, they've got everything great, everything planned, that they've got their itinerary, that they know exactly what's what. And they, you know, as they're out there, you know, they've got all these plans and everything is down to the wire. And, you know, they strictly have their hotels, they have this, they have that. And, you know, we do can, and it happens that we drink the wrong water, eat the wrong foods, miss our flights, jump on the wrong bus. I think I've had pretty much any of those things happen to me as I've been traveling. I don't know how many of you have had similarly, but I'm guessing there's quite a few. You know, no matter how well we plan, there are opportunities that things can happen. and can go awry. And so I very much suggest to you travel insurance. There are simple plans that just cover your transportation and lost money. There are things that reimburse you should you even hear that the weather is not conducive to what you want it to be when you're going somewhere. And so you can cancel, you know, up to 24 hours or even the day of your trip and still get money back. That's what insurance is all about. It's not, you know, there are many times, and those who have auto insurance know this, you know, there are few and far between, we hope, times when you're going to need your auto insurance or your home insurance. But yet you pay for it as a preventative and to feel more secure and for the time that the inevitable happens that you're going to need it. That's how travel insurance is. It is relatively inexpensive for what you can lose if you don't have it with you and don't have it as part of your trip. It can help sometimes even some of the airlines if you have to be rerouted for some reason. You know, don't pay for hotels. Don't pay for meals. If you miss the plane, you might have to pay for an upcharge to get rerouted. You know, all the airlines are different on some of that. All of the buses, the trains have different rules on that stuff. You know, so you could be charged for that. If you have the insurance, you have the opportunity to get some of those extra charges reimbursed in most cases. Again, it depends on what kind of insurance you have. So read your policies. Take a look at it. If you have questions, get a hold of True Visions Travel. Get a hold of me directly, and we'd be happy to have that discussion with you. You know, whether you buy the insurance through us or not, when you book your trip through us, we could still provide you with the insurance. And that's, you know, True Visions Travel is one of the sponsors of this show. You can get a hold of True Visions Travel, TrueVisionsTravel.com, and they can help you with that travel insurance. Any other questions, any other comments, we'd love to have you put them in the Facebook group at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. You can send them directly to me via email at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio.com. You know, we try to air most Fridays. I thought it had been a while since I've done so. With the final exams and working around all that, hope to be out here the next couple of weeks. But we'd love to have an idea as to what you'd like to hear. You can send me an email for that as well. Or if you'd like to be the guest on the show. You know, if you're living your purpose, if you have positive news to share, if you'd like to just, you know, share who and what you are, we'd love to have you on the show and talk about that. It's much better and a little more fun if I can carry a conversation with someone as opposed to a monologue from me. But, you know, I will do that as well on our topics if need be. We've got a couple of ideas coming up for the road next couple of weeks. And hopefully we will air before the new year comes around. But, you know, whatever you're doing and you're traveling, again, whether local, whether far away, be alert and trust your gut. Because that's what's going to help you in any situation. Our bodies tend to know, read situations better than our eyes and our brain do sometimes. Sometimes they go a bit overboard, sometimes not. And, you know, that doesn't matter. What we want is just to be alert of what's going on around us. And not on high alert, not to the point where we look like we're fearful. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, nothing's going to happen. And everything will be nice and safe. And everything will be just as you want it to be. And, you know, but yet there are times when you need that extra little security. You need to trust how you're feeling in a situation. That's going to keep you safe. So I think I've pretty much given you all the information that I have for today. I don't see any callers or any more comments about being safe, whether you're traveling locally or traveling far away. So based on that, again, please join us in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group or send emails directly. And whatever happens, I wish you the best of holidays, however you celebrate them. I know some folks have already celebrated some of their holidays for this end of the year, and hope that you have enjoyed them and you've been able to spend time with family and friends that you may not get to do otherwise at other times of the year. I hope you get to be happy, be joyous, feel loved in all situations, and that you have the best, the greatest conversations, that you feel you are in a give-and-take situation in all of them. There are many people out there, there are many families that don't get to, and many individuals who don't have family members that they get to share with at this time of year. And, you know, invite somebody over. If you see someone that's without a family or without others, feel free to invite them over. You know, you might make a new friend in the process. You might find out that part of what these holidays are all about is being able to share love and goodwill to those around us. And please, as you're out and about shopping, traveling, whatever, remember that there are others working for you, just like you work for other people. Customer service is not just for one person. It is for everyone in the area at the time. The people at the restaurant may have to work when you get to be off. There are times when you may have to work and they get to be off. So be kind to each other as you're wandering around. Think of how you'd like to be treated in their situation. Think of how rushed and pressured they might be in their job, and try to help make it a little bit better with a smile, with an extra dollar on a tip, with just a thank you for what you do. All of those are very appreciated at this time. So until the next time we meet, I invite you to think of the theme song of Purpose Talk Radio, which is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. They have a website at TRUETRINITY.com. They are a little local trio of songwriters. Being the vocalist on this song happens to be Jillian Clark. The writers are Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. And as I do close out with that piece of that song, it is totally available on their website. I wish you all happy holidays, however you celebrate it. I wish you safe travels, whether it be locally or further away. And above all, I wish you love and soul blessings. Thank you for listening.
I am me. I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.